Okay, so we're on the Yavama Daf Yudaled. That's 14a tonight. Let me go back a little bit to Yud Gimel, the part that we need, and then we'll go to Yud today's Daf. If you look on Yud Gimel Medal 13a, page 25, the two lines from the bottom in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says Beit Shammai Matir Netzarot La'achim. So we spoke about in the first Mishnah, the Masechta, that there are 15 Arayot, 15 Gabriel. Yeah, are you looking in the Gemara? Okay, that there are 15 forbidden sexual relations that so you can't do yibum or chalitza with them, and according to the Mishnah, you can't do with them or their tzara, or their co-wives. So the Mishnah says Beit Shammai matina tzara ba'achim, and Beit Shammai permit the tzara to the brothers. In other words, Beit Shammai is more lenient here than Beit Hillel, or that's one way to look at it. You could look at it that they're more stringent because they do require yibum or chalitza. So there's different ways. Look at, I think this is what Rabbi Sobolovsky was saying to me in the latter way today. This is Beit Hillel Ostrim, Beit Hillel Ostrim. Okay, turn page. Then on the top line on Yigimel Beis, Chaltu, Beit Shammai Poslim Nakuna, Beit Hillel Machirin. Let's say the person does Chalitza with one of the Tzarot. So according to Beit Shammai, that's a legally valid Chalitza. They go through the ceremony. So now she's a Chalutza. So it's a Chalutza. She's, you know, so she's prohibited to a coin on the Drabbanan level. He says, Beit Hillel Machshirin. In other words, Beit Hillel holds, in other words, if I go to a woman in the street and I do a chalitza ceremony with her, it doesn't mean anything because I'm not her, you know, I don't have Zika with her. So Beit Hillel holds the same thing, that Tzara has no Zika with the person. So if you do chalitza, it's a nullity. And then Nityamu, let's say that they go forward and they do Yibum. So Beit Shammai Machshirin, so Beit Shammai holds. So in other words, if the person does Yibum with the co-wife of the Erva, so Beit Shammai Machshirin, Beit Shammai says that's fine. You know, you did the right thing. But Beit Hillel Poslim, says no. You had relations with the Eishanach. So it's a chiyuv. So and the offspring of Ramzerim. So Afal Pishelu Oshim Beit Hillel Matirim, Beit Hillel Poslim Beit Hillel Machshirin. So the Tanna Mishnah says even though Beit Hillel Oshim, hello, welcome. So we're I'm going over the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Beis, a few lines in the top. Okay, so even though we have this machloket whether you could do whether you have to do yibum or chalitza with the offspring, he says elu osrim elu matirin and elu poslim elu machshirin, and then they hold that the women may be pasul or not from the kahuna. Nevertheless, the two groups of people would intermarry with one group, and we'll explain, we'll have to see more in the Gemara, but the simple shot is that they would notify each other about any possible family problems that got going. He says, in addition to which the Tanna Mishnah says, Kol ha-tarot va-tumot, ki-u-elim tarim ve-elim tamin, there's other machlokot they have, whether kelim or tamin or tahor. They would use each other's kelim for taharot. Again, because they trusted that each other would notify the other one. Okay, so that's the Mishnah from yesterday. All right, let's go down on Yud Gimel Beis, the last narrow line. Okay, 13b, the last narrow line. So the Gemara says, we'll do the second very wide line. Okay, so Nityabu Beit Hillel Poslim Mechulei. So we said if they do Yibum, so Beit Hillel passels these women. In other words, Beit Hillel says, in other words, I should explain more. In other words, if a woman went through Yibum, so according to Beit Hillel, that was engaging in like in a forbidden sexual relationship. So even if that is all terminated, I mean, so that woman becomes a zona al pi halacha. In other words, if a woman has relations with somebody that's forbidden to her, so pi halacha, she's a zona, so she can never marry a kohen. So first the Mishnah said if you do chalitza with them, so Beit Shammai says you could do chalitza. So if you do chalitza, they're pasul on kohuna, and then nidyamu the same thing. I have the same problem if they do yibum with them. So not exactly, because chalitza is a drabanan, and the other one would be an isur d'oraisa. But let's see back in the Gemara. Yabu Beit Hillel Poslim Mechulei Hatulamali. So what? Once he teaches me that with chalitza, so according to Beit Hillel, there's no chalitza with the tzara; she's mofka from it. But according to Beit Shammai, you do chalitza, but then then according to Beit Shammai, she's pasul on the kuna. So why do I have to teach me more about this, the Nayibim? In other words, I know already that Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai have a machloket. I know Beit Hillel holds that these women are, you know, there's no Yibim or Chalitza with them. I know Beit Shammai says there's Yibim and Chalitza, Yibim or Chalitza. And if you do Chalitza with them, Beit Shammai holds that they're prohibited with the kuna. If you do Yibim with them, so then Beit Hillel holds that they're Asra and the kuna. So Hatu Lamali. So the Gemara says, I didn't tana chalsu tana nami the Yabu. In other words, one could be derived from the other, but once he teaches me Chalitza, it does Yibim. In other words, it's like goes hand in glove with each other. Okay, let me get into today's daf, and then I'll pause in a few lines. This is from yesterday. It should be reviewed for everybody anyway. Okay, so on the third white line, Tanana Tam, now this is subject to connection with our sugya. So Tanana Tam, we learned the Mishnah Masechet Megillah, and it should be reviewed for Daf Yomi people now, even if you didn't do yesterday's daf. Megillah Nikrit Bacharasar, Bishnemasar, Bishlashasar, Bi'arbasar, Bachamishasar, Lopachot, Loyoter. So the Megillah can be read on the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, or 15th of Adar, not earlier, not later. We explained already when we did Megillah that the Krachim that are Mukhaf, Kumav, Tam Yeshua Nun, read it on the 15th. The cities that aren't Mukhaf, read it on the 14th. And the Kfarim are Maktim Liyom Knisa. The Kfarim make it earlier, the Monday or Thursday before Purim, but it can't be before, you know, 11, 12, or 13. So the Gemara says, Amrli Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. So Rish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, Ikri Khan lo titgodudu, lo tasua gudoro gudod. So isn't there a problem? Now, this is subject to connection with our sugya, but let's focus on the Megillah reading first. So Rish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, isn't this a problem of the pasuk lo titgodudu, which was, I'll understand that you're admonished not to make factions, don't create different factions. So here Chazal creating a mitzvah where some people have priest Megillah it could be on, let's say, the 13th, it could be, then other people on the 14th, and some people on the 15th. So isn't that running afoul of the Klal and the Torah? So the Gemara interjects. So we have to put that question on the side, and then the Gemara will get a little shakal vitari here. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, lo titgodudu? What do you, you're learning lo titgodudu, don't make agudot, don't make different groups. But lo titgodudu, why don't I use it for the plain meaning of the pasuk, don't make a wound for a dead person. It says, lo titgodudu, lo tasim korcha ben nechamameid. Like when a person dies, you shouldn't, you know, cut yourself or something like that. So the Gemara says, in kinlinikra lo titgodudu. If the pasuk just meant, don't make a wound, so it should say lo to go to do, like Gedida is to make the wound. Lo to go to do, my tit go to do. So when it says lo to go to do, he says shmamina lahachki hudaat. So that teaches me that it's teaching me as well that you're not allowed to make agudot. So the Gemara says ve'imakula lahachki hudaat. So why don't I say that the whole pasuk is only teaching me that I can't make agudot? In other words, nothing to do with cutting myself with a maid. Imkin lemikra lo to go to. So if it only wanted to say don't make different factions, said lo tagodu, but he says lo tagodu, my lo tagodu shmamina tarti. Anyway, so that was just an aside. So the point being that there's a lot in the Torah lo tagodu, which Chazal understand, in addition to not cutting yourself when a person dies, that you shouldn't make factions. And we're going to describe in the first part of the daf today what the contours of that law are. So now let's go back to our question where Reish Lakish is talking to Rabbi Yochanan. He said, don't we run into a problem with that? So he says, Amar Leh, so Rabbi Yochanan says back to Reish Lakish, Akan lo shanita, makom shenagud lasot malacha ba'arvi pesach makatzot osin, makom shenagud shol lasot ein osin. So Rabbi Yochanan was not go-race the question that Reish Lakish asked. So the way the article gave the Sfara, because it's really not lo to go to do, it's not agudot. There's one law, in other words, there's one halakha, one halakha for everybody. And the halakha for everybody is if you're the walled city from the time of Yoshua Benu, and then you'll be on the 15th, and you're in the regular city 14th. Otherwise, 11, 12, it's not creating agudot, different groups in different places. I mean, different sense that there's one halakha for one person, another halakha for another person. But he said, if you're going to ask a question, what about this Mishnah? Didn't you learn this Mishnah? Amar Leh, Adkan Lo Shanita. Didn't you learn the Mishnah Masechet Pesachim, which we had in the Daf Yomi? He says, Makom Shnagud Lasot Malacha Ba'arvi Pesachim Matatzot Osin. In different minhagim about doing malacha on Erev Pesach, which is coming up in a few weeks. So in some places, everybody agrees that you don't do malacha after chatzot on Erev Pesach. That's a given. When this is Zman of the Korban Pesach, you don't do it. But there's the machloket about whether in the morning whether you could do malach or not. So he says, so in some places not. So that I think if you're going to ask a question, Rabbi Yochanan is saying to Rish Lakish, well, to go to do, why don't you ask me from that Mishnah? There you have where some people are doing malacha, some people not doing malacha, and so that's more a better question, he thinks, for Lo Tidkodu. So Rish Lakish is back to him, and I'll pause in a couple of lines. So Amramay Amin Malacha Na Isura. He says, look, my question was well founded. I was asking about Kriyas Megillah. I'm talking about a din in Isur. How so? The Amar of Shem Bar Abba, Amar of Yochanan, the Kiyamit may have Purim Bizmanehem, Zman Marbe Teknulahem Chachamim. He says, it is Isur, I'm asking you. Isur is in the sense that, like, the person who's from the ear can't read on the 15th, the person from the Krach can't read on the 14th. Everybody has, that's an element of Isur. But Amar Limin Haga, you're quoting a Minag. Minach is to refrain from malacha. I don't think that's such a great question for Lo Tidkodu. If I have Isur, that's dead on collision. He says, Rabbi Yochanan says, Vahatam lav Isur, have you eating by malacha on Erev Pesach? Is not Isur as well? Vatan, we learn the Mishnah in Sechet Pesachim, 3 lines from the bottom. Halayla beit shami osher beit hilo matirin. So this Mishnah is mechulak on the previous Mishnah. This Mishnah holds that is a machlok between Behil Beit Shammai about doing malacha on the night of Leil Bdikas Chametz. So this year, Leil Pesach is Friday night, so it would mean Thursday night. That Thursday night is but apparently, according to the Mishnah, they all agree that you can't do malacha the whole day on Erev Pesach, according to this Mishnah. So he says, who's talking to who at this point? Amar Lei is that Rish Lakish? Okay. So Rish Lakish says to him, so he says, no, that's not a kasha, or I didn't feel it was a kasha, because in other words, if I see somebody desisting from malacha, I just say to myself that he didn't have work to do. He didn't have work to do. He says, so it was very flatish. So he holds that desisting from malacha on Erev Pesach, he holds, doesn't run afoul of Lo Tidkodu. That's the way he's holding with this. Okay, now, all right, any questions, comments, that's what we did so far? Everybody good? Okay, I'm going to move on. Okay, now, let's take a look further in the Gemara. So, now, he says, now, Vahabi Shammai Ostrom, but one sense that's on the see. Right, so this is Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so now Rabbi Yochanan, according to the way they have it in the art scroll, which is based, I think, on the Ritva, he says, Rabbi Yochanan says, Vahabi Shammai Matir Natsar La'achim Akhil Ostrom. There's a better question, he thinks, from our mission. This is the connection with our Sukkah. In our Sukkah, we said that Beit Shammai is Matir the Sarot, the co wives or the Erva to the brothers, and Behilo Asher them. Because in other words, Beit Shammai holds the tzarot are in the getter of Yibum and Chalitza, and Beit Hillel holds they're not. So isn't that a low to go to do? I got some people, you know, doing Yibum and Chalitza in the situation, other people not doing Yibum and Chalitza. So let's see back on you, Dylan, I'm going to look on the top line. So I get confused on who's speaking to who here. Yeah. So this is Reish Lakish speaking now. So Misavrat Asubei Shammai Kedivrehem, Lo Asubei Shammai Kedivrehem. So Reish Lakish says, what makes you think that Beit Shammai even followed their own Shita? In other words, that was just like Rabbi Leibowitz was just saying, like a Shita for the Beis Medrash. In other words, like in learning they felt that way, but according to Reish Lakish, they never acted on it. So everybody's acting like Beis Hillel. That's the way Reish Lakish understands the Sugyas. That's not a problem. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asu. So Rabbi Yochanan says, no, they did act on it. And so it is a good, you know, food for discussion. So Rabbi Shmuel, this machlok between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan tracks the machlok between Rab and Shmuel. The Rab holds that Beit Shammai never, you know, acted on their shitot and here with the yibum and chalitza, which Shmuel Amar asu v'yasu, and Shmuel holds they did. So now the Gemara says emat. So when we say this a machloket either between Rav and Shmuel or between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether they did or did not act in accordance with their shitot, at which point are we discussing this? So the Gemara says ilam kodem bakol. Now if you remember, the Gemara Eirevin says that Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai had a machloket, and then eventually a bak kol, a heavenly voice came out in a shemayim and said halacha ki the Beit Hillel, halacha is like Beit Hillel in every place. So the Gemara says, so when are they having this machloket, whether Beit Shammai did or did not follow their own shita? So ilay mekodem bat kol, if we say the machloket is referring to a period of time before the bat kol, so my tamadon and Gemara lo asu, what would be the reason that they would not follow their shita? In other words, if they have that shita, what reason would Beit Shammai not follow their own shita before the bat kol? Ve'el achar bat kol, but so then the alternative is that they have the machloket after the bat kol. So my time of the mandamara asu, what would be the reason that they did follow the Rishita after the bat kol? It's like you're like a voice from the heavens saying, you know, like, oh, so why would I follow my own Rishita? So the Gemara says, Iba eima kodem bat kol, Iba eima lachar bat kol. I could say either way, machloket between Rav and Shmuel or Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan could be before the bat kol or after the bat kol. Iba eima kodem bat kol, I could say the machloket is before the bat kol, and so going to Beit Hillel Ruba, but the Beit Hillel were more numerous than Beit Shammai. Lamandamar Lawasu da Beit Hillel Ruba. So then it makes sense. The side that holds that they didn't follow their own shita because there were more people from Beit Hillel, so like you follow the Rove. So they held the shita this way, but they held that Beit Hillel was more numerous, so we're not going to follow our own shita. That would be that Svara. Lamandamar Asu and the other shita that holds, no, they did follow their own shita, is Kizlin and Bata Ruba, Hechadichia Dare Ninu. When do we follow the Rove, that's when everybody's on the same level of learning. So the same level of learning, more people this way, less people that way, go with the majority. But the Beit Shammai people were sharper in their learning. So it's like you know, I guess it's Eichud and Kamut, like quantitatively and qualitatively. So the Beit Shammai were fewer, but their learning was sharper. So one side could say that they went like their own shita, even though they were the minority. Or in the alternative, I could say the machlok between Rav and Shmuel or Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan is after the bat kol. Mandamar lo asu danachka bat kol. The one who says that they didn't follow their own shita because this is a heavenly voice. It says Allah has Beit Hillel. He says mandamar asu. And the one that says that they did follow their own shita, that's Rabbi Yeshua he the amari mashkita bat kol. Rabbi Yeshua says that we don't listen to a bat kol. And remember, we have this. The Gemara has it in Eruvin, but there's a famous case in Bava Metzia with the Tanur Shalach Nai where Rabbi Shua says that. So the Gemara is poised for a question now, but the basic idea we've set up that according to Reish Lakish, Beit Shammai didn't follow their own Shita, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, they did follow their own Shita. So the question is then, isn't that a problem of Lotit Go to do? Because now it's like factionalism. You've got these people following it this way, these people doing it that way. So let me do a few more lines and we'll pause. Again, this is the Machloket. Did they keep their own way or not? So according to one opinion, that they're following Beis Hillel. So no problem. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, they're following their own Shita. Well, we'll see. We don't know. That's going to be in the Maskana, but we don't know that yet. Okay, so let's take a look back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, so now we're around 10 lines down or 15 lines down on Yudalim and Aleph. Umandamar Asu, now, according to the opinion, says that they, Beit Shammai, followed their own Shita. So now I should have a problem of the admonition of the Torah, not to make agudot, like all this factionalism, because people are, you know, conducting themselves differently. So Amar Abaye, kimin lo tzodadu, don't stay bateidin and be irachad. So now the Gemara is circumscribing, you know, this rule of lo tzodadu. So according to Abaye, when do we say lo tzodadu? When you have two bateidinim in one city, Bez and Aleph and Bez and Beis in the same town, a little more into the Rebbe Shammai, a little more into the Rebbe Hillel. So one's going like Beit Shammai, one's like Beit Hillel. It's like again, I should have explained earlier, Rashi says that the reason for Lotit Go to do is that you'll like make like two Torahs. It'll be like there are like two Torahs in the world. They write. In other words, and the Rambam says it's like I think people will come to like friction and fight with one another. So Abayi says it's only a problem if I'm in one town and I have one person says one way, one person says the other way. But if I have one bezin in one city, one bezin in another city, and bezin in the other city says A, and the bezin in the other city says B, so there's no problem according to Abaye. So we think that Beis Hillel Beit Shammai would be like in city A and city B, Beis Hillel one city, Beit Shammai the other city. So Amalei Rava, so Rava says Abaye, but Beit Shammai would Hillel Kishtei Batidin be Yerachat Dami. It's not true because Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, they're in the same city, so it's like two Batidinim in one city. So then even according to your Hesber, I run into a problem. Ela Amar Rava, rather Rava says Kiyamin Lo Tegodru Don Beit Din be Yerachat. So according to Rava, when do I run into a problem to go to do if I have one bezin in the city and the bezin itself is fractured, you know, half saying one way, half saying the other way. So I don't know if it means like a formal bezin, but the way I would think it's like, let's say you have one shul in the town and in the shul, you know, half the people are doing one way, half the people doing the other way. That's low to go to do. It's like you know, open and notorious that it's like you walk in the same shul. Half the people do one thing, half the people do the other thing. So that's like either it looks like two Toros, like is it this way or is it that way? Or there's going to be like conflict because they're right on top of each other. He says, "Abal shtei batei dinim bi'irachad leilaba." But according to Rava, if I have two batei dinim in one town, let's say two shuls, one shul does this way, one shul does the other way. So that's Nishka Fairlax. Okay, that's the way that's the way that's going. Well, we're being recorded. Okay, now.
James Madison and Federalist 10 didn't like factions either.
Who didn't like it?
James Madison, I think it was in Federalist Papers number 10.
Okay.
Don't quote.
Right. All right. All right. So we'll talk in a minute. Let me just. Okay. Let me do another eight lines, then we'll open up the floor for discussion. Okay. All right. Let's go. We're further in the Gemara. Four lines, but we're it's wide. Everybody with me? Okay. So we were bothered by the implication of lo tit go to do for Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So Reish Lakish is not a problem because Beit Shammai never acted on the Shita. Reb Yochanan said they did act on the Shita, but lo tit go to do is only a problem if I have one bezin and the bezin is split. But if I have two bati din and one bezin is this way, that's not a problem. So it's not a problem lo tit go to do. We have other problems, but it's not a problem lo tit go to do. So according to the way Rav explains it, so Tashma. So we're still on this topic of lo tit go to do. So with the price of four lines before it gets wide, then come on Shrablezer, pour to mates and let's hope coming to Shabbat, let's hope Barzel. So with this we had in Daf Yomi, you may recall in Shrablezer to be them Sechet Shabbat. So in the locality of the town of Reb Lezer, they would cut down, the Reb Lezer holds that Machshirei Mila, not only Mila is Doka Shabbos, but Machshirei Mila, those preparatory acts of the Mila are also Doka Shabbos. So the town of Reb Lezer holds that on Shabbos we'll have to cut down a tree, make a fire to fashion the metal for the Ismael to do the Mila for the sun on Shabbos. So Tashmam, Kamosh Reb Lezer, Yikor Temesim Lasop Chamim, you cut down the tree to make poles, he says, the Shabbat, Lasot Barzel. In other words, to fashion the metal to be a knife, to cut, to do the Mila. And Komosh Rabbi Yosef Lili, in a locality, the town of Rabbi Yosef Lili, they would eat like poultry with milk in the locality of Rabbi Yosef Lili. So now, it says, Bachalevi Mo, it says the milk of its mother, so he holds the birds don't have milk of the mother, so he's not in. So we hold that it's prohibited, but it's a drabanan. This way, we hold a halacha, but he holds it's mutar. So the first white line. So the Gemara focuses first on the time of Reb Lezer for reasons that will be, I think, clear shortly. It says, "When Komish Reb Lezer in Komish Rabbi Kiva Lo, So the implication is, in the place where Reb Lezer was located, they would cut down trees to make pekamim, but in the locality of Rabbi Akiva, they wouldn't. It's interesting because Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of Reb Lezer, but he says to Tanya, Talmud Rabbi Akiva, Kumalacha Shalas Tamir Shabbat, Indo Chedah Shabbat. Rabbi Akiva says any malacha that you could have done before Shabbos, in other words, everybody agrees Mila is Docha Shabbos, but the Mila I have to do on Shabbos, it's the eighth day. Those things that I could do before Shabbos, I have to do before Shabbos. So the preparation of the knife, I could do before Shabbos. So I'm obligated to do before Shabbos. The point being, Rabbi Akiva says, I can't do that. So he says, so the kasha is, so now I have, where Reb Lezer is, they're chopping down trees on Shabbos and creating a fire to make the knives. And where Rabbi Akiva is, they're not. So we think we're going to run into a problem of lo to go to do. So the Gemara says, Vahai mai tiyofta. He says, what type of kasha is that? If it's in one place, another place, everybody agrees it's not low to go to do. We said, even according to Baye, if it's place A and place B. So he says, so the one who has quite an answer is so simple. So the Ma'akshin, what was he thinking? The Gemara says, I might have thought, because the stringency of Shabbos, Shabbos is so chamor, it was like, Yimchal Shabbos is a chiyuv karet, it's a chiyuv misa. And if you're Machal Shabbos, like you're violating the whole Torah, then maybe for that din, we have a more chamur din for lo to go to do. And even if it's two places, it's lo to go to do. So Tamash Malan, not this way. So the reason, so now we can see why the Gemara, the Ruchlan Air points out, that's why the Gemara focused on Reb Lezer about Eitzim Shabbos and not the milk and the meat. In other words, the milk and the meat is not a problem in different places. But the thing with Shabbos, because Shabbos is so chamur, it's what he had a question. The Machshin. I'm saying we just quoted a. We put in the Brisa two cases, one with milk and meat and one with Shabbos. So the Machshon is asking from Shabbos because even though there are different localities, so it's normally it's not a problem of lo to go to do, but he thought because of the Chum Shabbos, it might be a problem. So we dispense with that. Okay, now, just a few more lines, then we'll pause. So with the fifth white line, well, we have a lot of Gemara. We're not so flying in terms of the watch. Okay, so Tashma, Rabbi Abahu, ki ikla la'atri to Rabbi Shimon Levi, ha'matalto shraga. So here we're talking about a lamp that was burning at the beginning of Shabbos, then it went off. In other words, so let's say I had a candle or oil burning, and then it went off. So, you know, on Shabbos, the candlestick is muksa for the whole Shabbos, is the way we hold lach l'maisa. So, please, one second. So remember, when we learned in Sefer Shabbos, we learned that, right, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, it's true. Rabbi Yehuda Idlei Muksa, Rabbi Shimon Idlei Muksa, was an expansive view of Muksa or a narrow view of Muksa. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Abahu, when he came to the locality of Shimon Levi, I am a Tafel Shraga. So he would carry a lamp that was no longer burning. He would carry it on Shabbos. He says, Rabbi Yochanan lo havam Tafel Shraga. And then we go to the locality of Rabbi Yochanan, he wouldn't carry it. So the Gemara thinks, not having me the Rabbi Abahu, well, not that thinks, well, he was a Talmud Rabbi Yochanan, so the Gemara assumes that he held that it's really forbidden. Yet one place he's going in the forbidden way, one way he's doing the lenient way. So he says, behind my kusha, he says, what type of kash is that? Lo minin mekomo shani. So we said it's different locations, so it's not a problem of lo to go to do. So the Gemara says, no, I'm not haki kamina. No, you misunderstood the question. Rabbi Abahu, how do you do one way in one place, one way in another place? It's like, let's say a person, he's doesn't eat kidney or on Pesach, and he goes to Sephardim, he eats kidney or it's an Ashkenazi person. Like, well, how's he doing that? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Abahu, Rabbi Shimon Levi, severely. So no, Rabbi Abahu didn't follow Rabbi Yochanan. He really felt like the lenient view, like Rabbi Shimon Levi, the me'ikar din, you're allowed to carry the candlestick. But he mikla atu Rabbi Yochanan. But when he came to locality of Rabbi Yochanan, lo habim talzam, Mishum quoted Rabbi Yochanan. Out of deference for Rabbi Yochanan, he wouldn't carry it because Rabbi Yochanan's a gagal, he's in his presence. So the Gemara says, Va'ika Shema, but what about his attendant? His attendant presumably is with him. The attendant is used to his protocol, which is carrying the candlestick on Shabbos, and the attendant is going to carry it. So he says, Demoda le the Shaman. He notified the Shaman that was doing. Okay, let me pause. I did a lot. Maybe there's some questions, comments, those. Let's just summarize what we did. So we've gotten into the topic of lo to go to do. Lo to go to do, we said, is the Torah admonishes us not to form different factions where everything is a stira. You know, so this is a problem, which the poskim speak about on Chol HaMoed, which is coming up shortly, having some people put on tefillin and some people not put on tefillin in the same shul. So we Ashkenazim, Sfaradim don't put it on, so they're in good shape. But we Ashkenazim, traditionally, the Masorah was many Ashkenazim would put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Some didn't. The ones who don't were Hasidim don't, and Talmidei Gra also don't. But the many people now, more and more people aren't putting on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So you run into a little bit of a problem with that. What? Well, you run into a little bit. I think that's because on
Chol HaMoed, all of the people become Hasidim.
All right. Okay. So okay, Arthur says that everybody in Chol HaMoed becomes a Chassid. Anyway, the poskim say that ideally you should have like 1 minion with people with the tefillin, 1 minion without the tefillin, not at the same minion. But today in New York, many shuls have the same situation. So I was talking today with Rav Velofsky. He was mentioning this, the two promotions. It's like here in New York, like we're all like fermish, like the Minhagim aren't so clear. Everybody's a mixture of everything. But other spars are that I could say, let's say I'm in a shul and half the people have tefillin and half don't. I could say maybe the people who don't have tefillin could have a reason. Maybe they have intestinal problems, and therefore they can't. In other words, tefillin require guf naki. So if they're running to the bathroom, they can't put on tefillin. In other words, it's like doing the malacha. Like the person who desists from work on Chol HaMoed might not have work. It doesn't have to be that he's observing not Chol HaMoed on Erev Pesach might not have work. So the same thing you can cover as far as for the people who aren't putting on tefillin. All right, now. I mean, in terms of the Easter Malacha, we should all be on the same. I'm saying the truth is, Al Pi Halacha, a person's clothing should be nice during Chol HaMoed, and there are different isurim in terms of doing work, but it boils down to Chol HaMoed. Is it more Chol or is it more Moed? Basically, it's an element of both during Chol HaMoed, but which one is it in terms of tefillin? Okay, now anyway, the idea is that we have this thing of not to make agudot, so we said that Rabbi Yochanan felt that by Megillah is not a kasha because there's one halacha. It's just different places have, but there's one halacha for everybody. And then in terms of the marriages with Beit Shammai and Hillel, so Reish Lakish wasn't bothered with that because he said that Beit Shammai never acted on the Shita. Yochanan said they did act on the Shita. But even within Rabbi Yochanan, we said, If it's a different bezdin going to Rava, even two Bati Dinim in the same town, so it's not a problem. Loads of go to do, and then we gave some other things as well. Okay, who's your question? Comes to something we did with the remote.
Wait.
Aaron Moshe, one second. Rapi, and then I'll get you. Well, if you want to go to Zoom, like one day, what's wrong with that? No. First of all, if you're ben chutz la'aretz and you go to Eretz Yisrael, so the poskim traditionally say that's a minag gamakol. So your minag follows you. You don't get the minag of Eretz Yisrael. Today there are some other shitot around, but that's if you look in the Sifrei poskim when Machaber has in Shulchan Aruch, that's the din. It's different. In other words, the Gemara says Makom Shinagu. If you're from a place that does the minag not do malacha, that's a different Mishnah. If you go from one place to another place, so if you go from a place where the minag is not to do malacha to a place where they do malacha, then you have to desist from malacha. That's the same thing. If you come from Chutz La'aretz and the minag is not to do malacha, okay, Aaron Moshe, quickly, and then we got to go.
No, I was going to say that sometimes a chazan davens musaf, so half the shul starts yelling to say Yavar Rachamim, the other half of the shul starts yelling not to say Yavar Rachamim. So they went over to an old guy in the shul. He says, "What? You're an older man. What's the minhag of the shul?" He says, "This is our minhag to fight over."
All right. Okay. All right. You all heard that. Okay. So in other words, there's a tefillah that we Ashkenazim recite after the Haftorah. Avarachamim. It's an azkara for the kilot that were killed in Europe in the in the Middle Ages. So Arthur said that there was a shul where would the, so there's some Shabbos we don't say Avrachim. Let's say like the Arba Parshiot, we don't say Avrachim. So Arthur says in one shul, so when we get to Avrachim, so half the people say, don't say Avrachim. He would say Avrachim. So he said, well, you know, they said, what's the minhag of the shul? So one old man said, that's the minhag of the shul. And half the people say, we don't say it. Half the people say, we do say it. Okay. All right. Let's see back on the Gemara. Okay. Now let's see. I got to run and I apologize. Okay. Now, okay. All right. 1 second. Okay, so we're 10 lines from the bottom on Yudalit Amud Aleph, 14a, 10 lines to the bottom. Okay, now this, you know, the arts is helpful with the transitions here, like what's coming up with everything. So, yeah, so he says, so we're going back to whether Beit Shammai followed their own sheep or not. So Tashima, Ava Pishe Lu Ostrim Vilam Atirim, even though between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, so some, you know, Aster the Tzarot, you know, to give him a chalitz, and some are not here the Tzarot. He says, Lo nimnu beit shamay milisan Hashem bibeit Hillel, but Beit Hillel bibeit Shammai. So they didn't hold back from marrying each other as women. So he says, Iyamar b'shalim alo asu mishumak lo nimnu. So if, this is support the other way. So if I say that Beit Shammai never acted on their own opinion, so it makes sense that there was no mania. Everybody gave everybody because everybody's on the same page. Eliyamar asu. Am I lo nimnu? But if they're following their own sheet code, then we're going to run into Gahak Kasuris because, right, according to Beit Hillel, so the women from Beit Shammai, who they're calling, you know, Tsaros, are doing Yibum, so then the offspring would be Mamzerim. And then the from the Beit Shammai side, so the women that Beit Hillel is letting go to the Shuk or require Chalisa, they didn't get it. So the Gemara says, "B'shalim Beit Shammai miBeit Hillel nimnu d'bnei Chabi lavim nimnu." So one side, the Beit Shammai should marry the women from Beit Hillel isn't so difficult because the worst case scenario, the women were over on a lav. He says, in other words, lo tiyashin made a chutz liyizar. That's a lav in the Torah, but if you marry them, so the offspring's not, you know, nothing wrong with the offspring with that. I mean, there's a tam in the offspring, but it's not mamzerus. Elo Beit Hillel Beit Shammai amai lo nimnu. He's really referring to the offspring. In other words, the offspring from these unions. That's what he's bothered with. So, right. So, according to Beit Hillel, the offspring from the Shammai unions that were going to be Mamzerim. And according to Beit Shammai, the offspring from the Beit Hillel unions wouldn't be Mamzerim. So, he says here, if you take except for Beit Hillel, the Mamzer, maybe he'll say that there's three machloket. It comes up in the Mishnah Memtet. If you look quickly to Mishnah Memtet Amud Aleph, turn quickly to Memtet Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah says, Memtet 49a. So he says, Manitin, here you go. So the Mishnah says, Ezu Mamzer, Bol She'er Basar, Shu Below Yavo, Dibre Bikiva. According to Rabbi Kiva, if you're over in a lav, the offspring is in a Mamzer. Shimon Timni Omer, Kosh Chayvin Lekare, Dide Shemayim, Balach Kedvarav. Shimon Timni says, anybody that you Chayv Kare for, and then it says, Rabbi Shul, Meir, Kosh Chayv Lelav Mita Beit Din. Rabbi Shul says, anybody that's a Chiyuv Mita. So back on the Gemara here, so the Gemara says, maybe it holds that only Mamzerim are from a Chiyuv Mita, not from a Chayuv Kare. So Ba'amar of Lazar, even though we have a number from Lazar, even though they have Machlok by the Tzarot, Modim, they agree. Shem Mamzer Mishu Yisro Air Rabbanos Kareid. They both agree that it's a key of Kareid is the thing for that. Elav Shmuel Alawasu. So is it not clear? The Gemara thinks from our Mishnah that Beit Shammai must not have followed their own Shita. That's the only way they could have intermarried with one another. So lo, the Olamasu. No, they did follow their own Shita. The Gemara says three lines from the bottom. But the Modi Bahu Parshi. But Beit Shammai, so if somebody from Beit Hillel would come to marry one of their families, and so they saw there was a problem, Beit Shammai knew there was a problem, they would notify the person, and then the person wouldn't marry them. That's logical. The Katani Seifa, because we learned the Seifa of the Mishnah that we did at the beginning of the Beistav, that all the Kalim, the Beit Shammai and Hillel, they each had a different Shita, whether they're Kalim or Tami or Tahor, so they didn't, they would borrow kalim from one another, and they weren't concerned about the tumatara of it. the turn the page, we're on the top line on Yigal Days. So if you say, because in other words, if Beit Hillel goes to borrow keli from Beit Shammai, so Beit Shammai say, oh no, this keli you shouldn't have because you would consider it tamei, leave it. He says, Mishum ha'achi lo nimnu. Eli Amri lo modi lahu. But if you say they don't notify them, so Beit Shammai Beit Hillel lo nimnu. So when he said Beit Shammai Beit Hillel would borrow kelim, the tumo to Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai to horo nimnu. In other words, Beit Hillel is more machmir with the kelim than Beit Shammai. So Beit Shammai could borrow kelim from Beit Hillel. Because that which Beit Shammai calls Tahora, the Kalim, would be Tamei for Beit Hillel. So the Gemara says it's clear from that last section of the Mishnah that Beit Shammai would notify Beit Hillel if there's any problematic situation with the family, and that's why they didn't weren't concerned about intermarrying one with another. So the Gemara says, so from the Mishnah, this is a Braisa. Yeah. So the Braisa said, another Braisa, one second. Yeah. So the Gemara deduces proof from the last case. So in other words, we have two cases, one with the families and then one with the Kalin. So the Gemara wants to prove that that Beit Shammai did follow their own opinion, but they did follow their own opinion, but they would notify everybody. So why is it that the Gemara takes it that the case with Kalim, that definitely proves it more than the case with the families? So the Gemara says, because I might have thought that with Tzara, there's a lot of publicity. In other words, somebody was a co-wife of a potential erva, so not that they would notify them, but it was just so well-known. It was like known in the community. So Kamash Malan. So the last case teaches me that they would notify, and we can assume that they would notify also for the families as well. Okay, because the Kalim isn't public, and then they do that. All right. Now, let me do a few more lines, and I'll have a quick pause, and then we got to run to the end of the daf. So Gufa, earlier we learned in the Gemara, Amar Blazar, Afi Shechlu Beit Shammai Beit Hillel Beit Tzarot, even though Beit Hillel Beit Shammai had a machloka about the Tzarot, the co-wives, Modim, Shein Mamzeel, Mish, Yisro, Yisro, Erev, Banosh, Paret. They agree that mamzerus only comes if the prohibited union would be karet or mita, that they agree on. So the implication being that one sad I have a problem, I theoretically would have a problem, but fortunately that sad agrees that mamzerus begins with karet. So man modim, so who is agreeing to who on this? So ilayim abeit shammai abeit hillel. So again, the problems, we're talking about the saros marrying. So on the base hillel side of the equation, the worst case I have is that a tzara that's chayav chalitza marries somebody else from the shuk. From the other tzad, from the perspective of Beis Hillel, the worst tzad is that the tzara marries the yibam, the yibam takes place, and now I have mamzerus. So the Gemara says, so man modim, even Beit Shammai, the Beit Hillel, if we say Beit Shammai agrees with Beit Hillel, that we're okay, because Beit Shammai agrees with Beit Hillel, the mamzerus begins with a chiv pare, chita b'nei chayav ilavim kerem ninu. So there's no problem because the offspring of Bnei Chayvi Lavim, certainly they're not going to hold that they're Mamzerim. Ela Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. So the other choice is that Beit Hillel agrees with Beit Shammai, but he Gufa Chayvi Kvitati. But there, the Tzara is itself. In other words, that itself is a Chiyuv Karet with the Tzara. So two more lines and I'll go back. We all know Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. So no, Beit Shammai, going back with the Chi of Chalitza. In other words, the Gemara is going to say like this. The issue is that Beit Hillel is matched to the Tzara to marry somebody from the Shuk. And Beit Shammai holds Lo Tiyadim Shammai the Chusla Yizar. So what the Gemara says, we all know Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, but Beit Shammai agrees with Beit Hillel that it's only Mamzerus if it's a Chi of Karet. In contradistinction to the opinion of the Tana Rabbi Akiva, that Amar Yesh Mamzer Mechayvi Lavin, Kamash Malan Dei Mamzer Mechayvi Lavin. So, in other words, when Rabbi Lazar says that we're fortunate because they, we have to figure who they are, they acknowledge that Chiyuv Mamzerus is only from Karet, he's talking about the tzad that Behil permits the women to marry without Chalitza. So they marry without chalitza, and then there's offspring afterwards. but not to worry, because Beit Shammai holds that Mamzeris is only if the union would be a Chiv Kare. Here, the union is a Chiv La, Lo Tiei Shemina Husli Zar, so no problem that way. The other way, for sure, Beit Hillel holds you can't even you know the woman herself is would be a Chiv Kare for the brother to marry her because it's Eish Tzach. All right. We have 30 seconds for questions, comments, then we got to go. What's up? We have to wait till we get to Mem Ted. So the emes is, Anita is a Chiyuv Karet, really. Anita is Chiyuv Karet, but Anita is the exception for the rule that we've been in Sale Halacha, that even though it's a Chiyuv Karet, the offspring are not Mamzerim, but the Gemara has a limit for that. But it's what Rabbi Akiva Shita is with Anita. I have to take a look. But when we get to Mem Ted, we'll see. Okay, all right. So let's see further in the Gemara. Okay, now. Okay, so now let's all focus, and we're going to go in for this last piece. Okay, now the Gemara says Tashma. So we're still on this topic about whether Beit Shammai is following their own shita. Let me make sure we have the right transition to you. Yeah, so we're trying to prove the Beit Shammai follows their own shito. So Tashma, so Afish Nekhu Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, the Tsaru to Bachaya, Beget Yishan, the Safik Eshadish, the Garsh Nisha, the Lanim of Pundak, the Kesav Shabbat, Kes Putra Shabbat Putra. So even though there's a Machlok between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel on these different issues, so one is Tsaru, when the Tsar is allowed to marry the Nar Mishnah, then Uva Achayar, Bachayar is the Mishnah of Chabab, which we had already, four brothers, two of the brothers marry two sisters, and then the two sisters, the two brothers, Reuben and Shimon, die. So the two sisters are Yivamot, but they're each one is a chotz de kukato. In other words, so Levi and Yehuda are looking at two sisters, so they can't do Yivam with either sister, and because each one is a chotz de kukato, each one's a sister of his zakuka. So I think the Mishnah says you have to do chalitza, but then there's a machloket between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, according to one opinion. If, according to Reb Lezer, this is my focus between Mishnah and Hillel, let's say they illegally marry the sisters. They do Yibam with her. So according to Beit Shammai, they get to remain married to the sisters. And according to Beit Hillel, no, they have to divorce them. So there's my focus about that. Beget Yashan, I have to move this very quickly. I apologize. Beget Yashan is, let's say, a person writes a get, and then he's miyached with his wife, and he still uses the get like 6 months later. So here, one side holds it's a problem of if they have an offspring, it will look like he divorced her and then he had the offspring. He says Uvasafek Eshadish. There's more than one shot in Rashi. We're just going to do one quickly now. And Safek Eshadish. So Rashi gives one shot where it's the girl doing miyun. And that according to Beit Shammai, the only ones who can do miyun is after erusin. After nisuin, I can't do miyun. And when a girl is up for yibam, they can't do miyun anymore. That's where you divorce your wife and you stay in the inn with her, and people see you have yichud with her. So there's a question whether he is mechavein that the bia should be the shame kiddushin or not, so it creates a sapek. And then the kesef shabbat kesef pruta shabbat pruta is machloket how much the kesef kiddushin have to be. So anyway, they have a lot of machlokot about marriages. Nevertheless, they intermarried with one another. That there was like love and affection in one group for another group. Like you should love MS and peace. Reb Shimon Omer, here's the key line of the Gemara. So focus on Reb Shimon and Shimon usually means Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Shimon Omer, Nimnu Heim and Abada Nimnu Safek. That they were Monea. They did stay away from Vadai cases, but not from Safek cases. So we think in the Havamina that Vadai means that where there's a definite problem, Safek would be like the case of the woman who. We think right now in the Havamina like this, that the Vadai case, I know there was a problem that entered the family. And now I want to marry a member of that family. This issue may have taken place 20 years ago. I want a member of the family. I know somebody in the family, you know, was according to my sheet, not appropriate to be married to the family. So it's a suffix whether this woman, you know, that I want to marry is part of that or not. So I can't marry. That's what we think the pshat is. But if it was a suffix, let's say the person was in a pundak, and he after he divorced his wife, he stayed in a hotel room with his wife, with his ex-wife. So there's a safek kiddushin, and then the offspring would be sveik sveika. So that's what we think the pshat is. So now the Gemara says, so if I, focusing on Reb Shimon, if I say the Beit Shammai follow their own shitot, so then I understand why Reb Shimon said they did stay away from one another. But if I assume they'd never followed their own opinion, and they were always, you know, hedging towards Beit Hillel, why would they stay away? So we assume right now that they did follow their own opinion. So the Gemara says, what, but Tisbara, but does it make sense? Even if I say they followed their opinion, does the price make sense? Now, the Gemara at this point assumes that Reb Shimon is focused on the issue of Tzaro. So I understand why Beit Hillel would stay away from Beit Shammai, because they have Mamzerus in the family. Why would Beit Shammai stay away from Beit Hillel? So, in other words, why would that equation, why would Beit Shammai say from Beit Hillel? Because the worst case scenario would be that a woman with Chiv Lav married a man. Now they have offspring, but it's not going to be Chiv Lav Zeris. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara revises his understanding of the Braisa and says, so the Gemara says, no, Reb Shimon is talking about with Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel with the Tzara. In other words, so according to Beit Shammai, in other words, not that it's descendants in the family, but Beit Shammai wants to marry somebody from Beis Hillel, but and now there's a woman there who was a Tzara, but she never got Chalitza. So Beit Shammai, well, she's not Eishanish, but she's there's a law in the Torah that if the brother dies, the woman, the woman's not allowed to marry somebody before she goes through Chalitza. So now, according to Beit Shammai, this woman followed Beis Hillel. She was a Tzara of an Erva. So according to Beis Hillel, there's no Chalitza. So she didn't do Chalitza. So now Beit Shammai facing with this woman, so they would avoid marrying this woman because she, according to Beit Shammai, was a Tzara and is required to do Chalitza. And she didn't have Chalitza. No. Let's go back. The kid is not a mamzer. Prince Rabbi Kiva, the kid would be a mamzer, but the kid's not a mamzer. We're not talking about the descendants now. We're saying the shot in the brisa is when Reb Shimon says that they warned Nimna, they did avoid marrying one another. So it means that we said, what is Beit Shammai worried about marrying into the Beis Hillel families? Because, like you're saying, it's not mamzerus there. Because the descendants wouldn't be. So no, the Gemara says, we're talking about where Beit Shammai wants to have a shidduch with the Tzara, with that woman herself. So they would be Nimna, they wouldn't marry her to their families because she requires Chalitza, it's an Easter love. So they wouldn't do that. He says, Umashna min avadai. So now the Gemara says, so what's the difference with the Vadai, the Isuruhu, Safek Nami Isuruhu? So Safek is also a case of Isur. So the Gemara says, "Lo tameh min ha-safek, ela eimah min ha-stam." It means don't say safek. In other words, we said they were monea from the vadai, but not from the safek. So the vadai is a case that I just told you with the tzara. What's the stam where they wouldn't be, where they wouldn't worry about it? The modi lehu parshi. In other words, if nobody said anything, that's not safek. Take out the word safek, put stam. So if nobody says anything, there was plenty of shidduch between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and nobody says anything, so then assume, it's no problem. But if they say something, then they would avoid it because they've been saying, like, this woman's a tzara, you know, it's not a good shidduch. So Mike Mashmalan, so what is he teaching me? The Abba Vareit Nogim Zebazeh. So what is Reb Shimon teaching me? That they had a wonderful relationship with one another. So Hainu Reisha, but that's the same thing as the beginning of the Mishnah, the Braisa. So Hakmash Falan, the Kud Reb Shimon. The Braisa all follows Reb Shimon. And there was not two Tanakam and Reb Shimon. The Braisa is all Reb Shimon and saying they got along well and they would notify each other of problems. But if there's a problem, we're not going to marry. Now, I have more to do, but I think, I guess I'll have to wait this for tomorrow night. Okay. All right. Any questions, comments? Second generation. What? Yeah, so again, so okay, so okay, so according to one side, Beit Shammai didn't follow their own shita. According to the side that they did follow their own shita, so they would notify them of any potential problems. If after a certain point in time, maybe there's somebody spakeled involved, maybe it's not a problem, but they would notify them of potential problems. What's up? No. Okay. I heard the question. Now here's the answer. Okay. To do the lav, to marry the woman, badai, that's a problem. But now let's say this woman violated halakha. I married the man in violation of a lav. Now I want to have a shidduch with the daughter of that union. So is there a problem with it? So the Gemara is saying there's mitzvah din, there's no issur with me marrying the offspring. Although there's going to be a b'gam, but that's what it's saying. Well, with Machloket. Okay. Let me in the recording.